Some of y'all know, went to Branson. I got up Friday morning and was like, I asked my wife what she was doing. She said she was going to a conference in Topeka, a women's conference. And, you know, I just got in my truck. I was like, I don't want to be here over the weekend for whatever reason. So I decided to get in the truck, start driving, and just kind of prompted by the Lord to continue to keep driving. That's why I punched in Branson. I asked if her dad was in Topeka, and she said, no, he's in Branson. I said, I might want to go check that out. So I got there later on that night. Now, mind you, I was just planning on going there and then coming back, so I didn't take any clothes. But I was just winging it. Decided to wing it, didn't have any clothes, went there. Now, they were already having service and stuff like that. And I'm over here looking, trying to find them, and said, wait a minute, he's got that patch, that Band-Aid on his head, so that's how I spotted him right there. So I went and sat down, and right by him and John George, and you know, we sat there throughout the whole service and stuff, and didn't really say much to each other. And then afterwards, this one Brother Copeland came and handed me this Bible and wrote in it his Amplified Classic version, which was really good. I said, man, that was a pretty good honor right there. Love that. So it was just a really good time. Met up with a few friends that I've seen. Haven't seen in a long time, since like Camp Awakening at Raymond Ranch. So it was a really good time for me. Today I'm going to talk to you about, wait a minute. Can y'all give my wife another hand clap? That was pretty good last week. I was about to say that. Good night. She was the one that told me, hey, if you need to stay, go ahead and stay. And I was like, all right, you got this? And she goes, I can come up with something. I was like, are you sure? Like, yeah, I said, all right. She did pretty good. So, thank you. That was good. Of course, on the way back, I was listening to it. I said, I got a few bones to pick with you. No, but one of the things is just, yes, she said pray for leadership and stuff like that, and pray for us pastors to get attacked by the enemy, and everybody gets attacked when you're in the game. You know, I watch football, but I don't watch football. There's some people that can tell you the defenses that's going on and all that stuff. I couldn't tell you that. But I do know this, that if you're standing on the sidelines, the opponent can never get you. Your opponent can't tackle you. Your opponent can't go after you. But when you're in the game, that's when he goes after you. So if the enemy is attacking, it's because you're in the game, trying to keep you from scoring, trying to keep you. I said, so everybody's going to face those attacks. But just like the word of God, faith goes on the offense. So we go on offense with the word of God. So today's title of the message is Our Daily Bread. This is something that we need in our lives. I mean, and the thing is our daily bread is Jesus, and it's the word. We need his word. If all hell is falling apart in your life, Christ is our firm foundation. See, our house can get, shingles can get taken off the roof, our siding can come off, and, you know, a wall may even fall down, but the foundation will still be firm. It won't ever go anywhere. And even if the whole house got taken up by, you know, a tornado, the foundation will still be there. And that's who Jesus is. He's our firm foundation. This is what we build our lives on, him and his word. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. It says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, again, we talked about, you know, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He didn't give us 2%. Jesus, it says, go back to verse 1 again, please. It says, Jesus was what? Full of what? The Holy Spirit. Anytime we're going through life and there's going to be attacks in our life, we need to make sure we are full of the Holy Spirit. We can't be full of the world and think that we're going to be able to overcome. We got to be full of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Verse 2 says, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, People do not live by bread alone. Now, Jesus goes to the book of Deuteronomy 8:3. This is where it says that man shall not live by bread alone. It says, then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms. Now, again, he took this authority from Adam, so he was able to do this. I give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And we see this even in Hollyweird, where people are basically selling their souls to the devil just for fame and fortune and all that stuff. And then now, when they want out, Satan comes to cash in. So they're basically losing their souls for just to be famous. And now they're famous. Leave me alone. I just want to be by myself. Well, you shouldn't have been at that Ouija board. And you might want to think about that. I said, but you got to pray for them. And then he says, Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, he goes to the book of Deuteronomy 6:16 in that. It says, then the devil took him to Jerusalem to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you. Now, Satan was, here he is. Jesus shut him down twice. And now Satan's over here using the word of God, which says in Psalms 91, 11 through 12, and they will hold you up and they will, with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. But he took that word out of context. The word didn't say throw yourself off. And look what Jesus says. Next verse, please. Verse 12. Did I get you that? What's that? Is that verse 12? That's verse 11. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity. So, you're going to be tempted by the enemy. What do we use? The word. We don't use the world. We don't use foul language. We don't use all these other things. We use the word, just like Jesus did. And listen, he had to use it twice, three times. He used it three times. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're not full of the Holy Spirit and we're trying to use the word and it doesn't work. And how come this doesn't happen? Well, use it again. Still didn't work, then use it again. I said, he didn't go until after the third time. It said, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity. So Satan ain't gonna stop. He didn't stop messing with Jesus. Now he was working through other people. The Pharisees, Judas. Because he couldn't get to Jesus himself. Now he's trying to operate and move through other people. So it may take you about 5 or 10 times for you to say something for the devil to leave you. And then when it comes, speaks through someone else, use the word of God again. Somebody comes to you with something that's, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Well, I ain't gonna talk to them. They start giving you gossip. They'll stop trying to use you in order to go after someone else because you're using a word. Jesus was tempted three times. Three times he went to the word while being full of the Holy Spirit. In your marriage, go to the word. In your relationships, go to the word. My wife said something that was kind of eye-opening, but at the same time, I didn't say this to her. I just wanted to wait. She said, and I get what she's saying. She said, I don't need the pastor, Tim, when we were talking because we were having a little discussion. I don't need pastor. I need my husband. Who said that, amen? But here's the thing. I knew what I was like being her husband without the word. I can't be her husband without the word in me because that's the only thing that I know. It's the only thing that's going to help get us over the top, because if we're going and we're there's a tax. We got to go to the word, because faith goes on the offense when we go on the offense with the word of God. And if I'm just giving her something that isn't right, that isn't next level stuff, then it's easy for the enemy to just do whatever he wants to do in our marriage. So you got to go to the word. I get what she was saying. I wasn't getting up there preaching and thus saith the Lord and put on a robe and stuff. I wasn't doing that, but I got what she was saying. But I can't be who I need to be without that firm foundation, without my daily bread. And sometimes I don't get that daily bread. And guess what? That stuff just lingers on and on and on. You got to get back into the word. There's nothing wrong with joking every now and then and stuff like that. I called my wife. She said no. She said not to say it. I'm going to say it anyway, but I'm going to say it because I love you. But it's a compliment for guys. I mean, for me, I don't like no little skinny woman. So I call my wife thick. I said, girl, you thick. And you know what she said? You thick too. I said, dog, that hurt my feelings right there. I said, I ain't never had nobody call me thick. Doggone. That kind of hurt right there. And let me just reevaluate what I'm saying to her, because I don't want to be thick. But it's okay for her to be thick. I'm good, man. I likes me a... She's good. She's good where she's at. Don't change that. I'm not going to tell her that one. I'm not going to say that one. I'm definitely not going to say that one. But why the word? Because it's inspired by God. Every scripture is inspired by the word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. This is the Passion Translation. God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture, where it is God breathed. It will empower. That word empower means to give official authority or legal power to. It is empower. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. The word teaches the truth about Jesus and salvation. It's used to rebuke sin and false teaching. It's used also for correcting those who are in error or who may go astray. It's also to train up God's children on how to live and act in this ungodly world. Daily reading. Well, how often should I read the Bible every single day? Yes. Not in a religious way. See, sometimes you can tell I don't skip a meal. I won't skip a meal. But the thing is that if you do, you're doing for fasting, whatever you're fasting. You're fasting not so that you wouldn't eat. You're fasting so you can get closer to God. You're fasting so that you can hear his voice. You're not just fasting so that you can fast for your body. You're fasting so you can draw closer to him, so that you can hear his voice a lot more clear on certain situations. This is why we fast. So even when you take your time to prepare your meals, take your time to prepare the word, to get into the word. Turn off everything. However you want to do it, but if there's a lot of distractions, you're not going to spend a lot of time in it. You're not going to spend a lot of time in the word. The word of God is our daily bread. It helps to prepare you for those tough obstacles that are ahead. If you want to be fully mature, as this word says, and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment thrown at you, reading the word daily is beneficial for you. Daily. Well, that might be too much. Well, how often do you scroll through Facebook? How much time you spend on that? How often do we scroll through Instagram? Do they even call it Twitter anymore? It's just X. X. What have you. How often do you scroll through TikTok? They got this house on TikTok. And I seen this thing, they got a remote for it that you can scroll, that you could just be lazy with and just scroll right through and just watch all the shows and from your remote, so you don't have to do this. You just got a little remote on your hand. And that's lazy. I almost bought it. Reading the word every day is one of the ways that God connects and communicates with his children. If you're having a hard time reading, hearing his voice, read the word. If you're having a hard time hearing from God, he's going to speak through his word. Feeling distant from him, prepare yourself to sit down and spend that quality time with him. But ask yourself this question, do I want to succeed in every area of my life? In Joshua 1:8, we know the scripture says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Some of the best athletes in the game, they'll put in the work. Not only in the gym, but in the weight room. And not only in the weight room, in the film room. Because they want to get better. They want to do better. They want to be able to dominate their opponent. And if the enemy can get you on his level, all in your feelings, in your emotions, and no word in you, he can whoop you. He can drag you up and down the street like it ain't nothing. He can get you anytime. Life falling apart, get the word. That's what holds it together. His word holds all things together. God tells Joshua, if you want to prosper and succeed, don't just study it, but obey everything written in it. And you will have good success. The enemy's job is to get you to do the wrong routes. He wants you to run the wrong routes. Boy, that's a tongue twister. To get you shooting at the wrong basket. He understands that the blood of Jesus and the word of God destroys him every single time. People, you want victory every single time. Every time. Doesn't matter. Not just in your life, but in your children's life. The word of God helps you stay pure. In Psalms 119:9, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By doing what? Obeying your word. Young people, you want to stay pure, obey the word of God. Not just listen to it, not just be hearers of it, but doing it and obeying the word of God. The transformation that takes place within your mind is next level stuff. Next level. Sometimes you are going to have to isolate yourself from everyone. People get upset with self-isolation. There's nothing wrong with that unless, I mean, if you're just trying to get away from people because you're scared of them. That's one thing. But it's okay to self-isolate. You know, a caterpillar will spin its own cocoon, and then it'll spend about 9 to 14 days transforming inside that cocoon until it turns into a butterfly and takes off. You self-isolate in the word of God, I guarantee you in 2 weeks, it's going to be something different in your life. You're going to see a change in your life. The things that used to trip you up back in the day doesn't trip you up anymore. The things that used to get irritable about stuff, it doesn't irritate you anymore. That test that you couldn't pass over and over and over again in your life, done. Now you're getting to the next level because why? You self-isolated. You spent time in the word. You're hearing his voice, and you're able to do what God has called you to do. You're able to fulfill any assignment that he's given you. And sometimes we just don't want to do it. But it's our daily bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. We need him every day. And when it gets to that place to where we're thinking, man, I just don't know. It's not to be religious about it. I grew up in the church. Our parents taught us right. But when 12 o'clock came, I was out to the park. They were having church until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was there from 8 to, now it's 12, it's time to go. That's too long for me. So we would just sneak out. One time I snuck out, Kristen was there with me. She visited with the kids and stuff. And I snuck out and went to the bathroom. I just went to the restroom. And then stayed there until church was out. And she was like, you just left me there by myself. She was hot. Because we didn't have any AC either. I said, you needed it more than I did. I'm just playing. I'm just kidding. The word of God transforms you and matures you into who God has created you to be. Nothing is going to be easy. But it doesn't mean that God hasn't given you the necessary tools to accomplish his will. In Proverbs 6, 22, it says this, when you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. When you read the word of God, it will help you. It will help give you wisdom and guidance to be able to navigate through life. He's our firm foundation. Jesus is the word that was made flesh. And every single time people would try to come at him, he went back to the word. Every time. You see the little notes on there? Go ahead and hit it. It'll go right back to the prophets and what was spoken about them and spoken about that situation. The word is what you overcome. Yeah, Pastor Tim, I know that. I said, but here's the thing. If we knew it, we'd be thriving. If you knew it, you'd be thriving. It doesn't matter what the situation you are facing, you can rely on this one thing. Jesus ain't going anywhere. The word ain't going anywhere. Our firm foundation will always be able to stand against the storms of life. You just have to take it one day at a time. Just one day. Don't worry about 10 years from now. Take it one day at a time. Conquer that day. If you got 15 different problems going on in your life, handle one. Lord, I just need to get my mind right. Friends way back in the day, they said, man, I need to get my head right. I need to get my head right. So they go out and smoke one. And I don't mean a cigarette. I mean a cig of weed. They go out and smoke one or go have a tall can or something like that. They need to get their head right. I said, we get our head right by going in the word. That's how you get your head right. Do you have time in your life to allow God to transform you so that you can become mature? We become mature through his word. Not just by hanging around with mature Christians, but we become mature ourselves in his word. So when those situations do happen, you can always rely on that. You can always fall back on that. You can always go to that. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. King James Version will say it'll make you free. But you have to continue in his word. And if you don't, you can't complain to anyone. Somebody complain to you. Are you continuing his word? Have you been reading his word? Because sometimes we just want a quick fix. I want a quick fix. Sometimes I didn't want to just work out and just work out because I knew that was going to be a lot. You got to go through all that pain and that soreness, that stiffness. I mean, especially if you're going on leg day, you work out a lot, don't you, Kyle? Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the lazy way of doing it. I got one of those little ab machines. I'm sitting there just. As you can tell, it didn't work. $9.99. We gonna get it. I don't have to do it. I can just continue to do my thing and just boom, nobody can see it. It's on me. It didn't work. Because you gotta put in the work. We can't cheat our way through this. You gotta put in the time. There's times I'll lay on the couch and I'll have the Bible reading it to me. I mean, they're just reading it. Why? I want more in. Wanna mature in all those things. I want to win. Well, we already have the victory. I want to continue to win. I don't ever get tired of winning. In Luke 11:28 says this, Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and do what? Put it into practice. It's not enough just to hear it. We got to put it into practice. Practice. Got to put it into practice, Joe. What's your boy's name? Tucker Ray. Tucker Ray. Ray? We put the word of God into practice. I can't be the person who God has called me to be if I'm not putting his word into practice. I can't be the husband that I need to be if I'm not putting his word into practice. I can't be the father or papa, grandpa that I need to be if I'm not putting his word into practice. That goes for everyone. If you want to get in the game, I'm going to let you know you're going to have an opponent coming against you. You want to stay on the sidelines, you can stay on the sidelines. I'd rather be in the game. I sat the bench one time. It wasn't fun. Here at 4 days, sat the bench. No, didn't just sit the bench. I didn't even get the suit out. But I deserved it. That sucketh. Never again. Learned my lesson on that one. It was a good lesson, but I want to be in the game. Because when people are going into battle, you want to be in there with them. When your family's going through something, you want to be right there with them. So how can you be right there without any word in you? You ain't got no sword. But I'm deflecting. Okay. Make sure it's not plastic. That's supposed to be the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are prepared in the gospel of peace. Your loins are girded with the spirit of truth. And you ain't got no sword? What, you picking up rocks and throwing it at people? You need the word. Sharper than any double-edged sword. You mentioned the women's night, didn't you, Chris, last week? Women's on Tuesday nights. Make yourself available for that. What time? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, Tuesday nights. Especially if you're going through something. If you know somebody going through something, take them. Drop them off. No, I'll pick you up. Pick them up, drop them off. You need to go. They need it. Why? Because you get tired of people calling you up. We don't want those, what's they call it? Ask hole. Somebody who will take you give them advice and they don't want to take your advice. They don't want to listen to it. You keep giving them the same advice over and over and over again and say, hey, have you done this? No. Why not? They just want to do their own thing. Time to grow up. Pick them up, drop them off, or come in there with them. It'll be good for them. Why? Because you're able to mature. Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, your bread isn't just going to be for you. You know, all your giftings that you may have, they're not for you. They're for other people. Whatever gift you have in you, if it's to serve, it's to serve others, not just to serve yourself. So people need you equipped. They need you ready. They need you full of the Holy Spirit. How do I get full? How do I stay full? Sing psalms and spiritual songs. It's okay to sing. Sing in the shower. Sing when you're cleaning. Sing when you're walking, if you're going on a walk or what have you, I said, just get a tune. Allow the Spirit of God just to continue to fully fill you up over and over and over again. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? There's some people they'll be walking and I'm over here singing to the thing and then they look at me and just laugh. Well, I'm only going to see you for about a split second, so peace and a bottle of hair grease. Sing it. You know, when you start singing, when you start praising, something on the inside of you just begins to get stirred up. And then you forget all that junk that you were just, because praise just does away with all that spiritual heaviness that may be on you. Praise does that. See, people wouldn't know that if they wasn't in the Word. So as soon as you read it, just take one scripture out for the day and meditate on it and allow God to give you a revelation of that word until you master that thing. And then you can work on the next thing. And you take that scripture, highlight it, write it down, memorize it, ruminate it, chew on it, until you master that thing in your life. And then you can go to the next one. Nobody's saying you have to memorize the whole Bible for the year. No one's saying that you have to read the whole Bible in a year. I know they have those Bible plans. That's great, but just read the Word every day. Feed on it. Every single day. Then when we come in here, it won't look like we're all beat up. We're coming here with smiles on our face. Why? Because we ran the enemy seven ways. Somebody once said, you know, how many of you guys are happy? Everybody raised their hand. He goes, well, tell your face. I went, tell your face. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that it is our daily bread. You are our daily bread. And Lord, and if we haven't made that firm foundation, made you our firm foundation, we've never, if there's people in here who's never accepted him as their Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, just say, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me. I believe you died for me. And you were 3 days later, you were raised to life. And I just ask that you come in my heart. Lord, I trust you. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for their life, health, and strength, Lord. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just sit right there. We'll receive communion today. Kristen didn't want to do it last week. That's okay. She did great. I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, the Passion Translation. It says, I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. Can you get the kids, please, as we're singing this? Since the same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill, for it is my body which is given to you. Do this to remember me. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. The word communion means the act or instance of sharing, or better yet, an intimate fellowship between believers. And just like we have fellowship with Jesus, we also have a relationship with one another. That Jesus sat down with all of whom he was dearly close with and broke bread. And just take the time to just remember and what Jesus had done for you on that cross right there. The lashes he took across his back, they weren't for nothing. Every sickness, every disease, every broken heart, every ailment that the world may go through, Jesus died for it so that you wouldn't have to suffer in it any longer. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The communion elements represents what Jesus did for us on the cross. And one is for the inward man and the other is for the outward man. The blood represents the remission of sin and the bread is the body of Christ. And by the stripes of his body, we are healed. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous, and the body makes us whole, delivered and free from sickness and disease. And because of the blood of Jesus, we are able to enter into heaven's most holy place. So when you take these elements, remember what Jesus has done for you. So whatever you're facing, confess, I am righteous by the blood of Jesus. And my body is healed and whole and free from all sickness and disease. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.